It's Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, and you're listening to the Beer Temple Podcast.
Remember, this is what we wanted. Remember, this is what we said. To never be heard or seen from again, 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 again. Remember, this is what we wanted. Remember, this is what we said. To never be heard or seen from again, 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 again.
Hello, welcome to the Beer Temple Podcast. I'm your co-host, Chris Quinn, and I'm joined by your other co-host,
Mike Shalow.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, Chris. I'm good.
You sound a little echoey. Is that just me, or am I?
I don't know.
I have a booming voice today.
Yeah, you have a booming, deep voice.
Maybe that's what it is.
Do you have the reverb on, sir?
Yeah, turn the sound up cooler. That reverb.
Make me sound more rizzed up.
Yeah, I want to get rizzed
up. I don't think I used that right.
No.
I don't think you want to get rizzed up.
You don't. Okay.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe if you're the...
Getting rizzed up, I think, is getting hit on.
Got it.
To rizz someone up is like to charm them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I'm trying to rizz you up.
Got it.
I think we're using that correctly.
I don't know.
Anyway, good banter.
We're talking about songs and sayings that my kids use that I don't know what it means.
Aiming for a younger demographic.
Yes.
Just over 21. Immediately post 21.
Yeah. Exactly. Getting ready, just like Eric was.
That's right.
Got to get ready for them now.
That's right.
You know, get ready now. Start bringing them in so when they turn 21, you already got them.
You got them.
You got them.
Stick it out.
Yeah. How are things? How are you?
Good, Chris. Good.
Good.
Things are happening, or I'm told they should be happening in the immediate future, which is good. I've been waiting a long time. I still don't want to talk about them yet, but I also spent part of the day at the vet because my cat was being a jerk.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hurt you?
No. He was thrown up, and he's a cat, and one of the people who lives, my partner actually cares about him, and so, no, I'm just kidding. I love my cat, but...
Being a jerk seems pretty standard for a cat.
Yeah, but it's when, anytime you bring a cat to the vet and they're not, like, dying... They're just like, yeah, he did some stuff he wasn't supposed to do, and now he's not feeling good, so here's it. You give us $600.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So hopefully he's feeling better.
Yeah.
Not such a jerk. I'm just kidding. I love my
back family. In my day, I mean, cats just kind of...
Yeah, they showed up and went as they pleased.
Yeah.
They were members
of
society.
If they got sick, then maybe something happened to him, and you got another one.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah, it's like
I wasn't a cat person. My dad hated cats.
We spent like 10 times what it cost to get the cat just today for them to be like, we did some fluids and blood work and he's fine. Well, we'll find out the blood work tomorrow. But
right.
It'd be really bad if next week they're like, no, he's very sick and I look like a jerk.
Well, I was about to sound like even more of a jerk. I was going to say, and then you're going to have to spend even more money.
Yeah, right. No, totally.
Where if you just put your head in the sand and said, it'll probably get better.
That's my technique.
Yeah. It's not like it's a real animal, like a dog.
That's right.
who is listening. Thanks to Lumpin' Radio for having us on. Thanks to, everyone who's left reviews and sent us emails and stuff like that. We're going to get to some emails later.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have, it's just Mike and I.
Right.
And of course, the Fade Master. And
as far as you know.
Yeah, as far as they know. And we have a show in three acts as what's his name? Ezra would say.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Ira.
Ira. Ira Glass, yeah. Sorry. Ezra Glass.
Ira He's Glass better than Ezra, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah. Well, very very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just the two of us, and we're going to sit and talk about some stuff. And then we got a little game coming up between the two of us. Not really a competitive game, but just kind of something fun to try. Well,
I didn't come here to make friends.
Okay, well, that's true. You did.
I already made them.
That's like you're saying, oh, what a sweet way of turn that around. I think we're going to start with, are there any beers that you've had lately that you've liked? We haven't done that with just you and I lately. And if there isn't, if they're not new, or if there's not anything you're looking forward to trying, then
yeah,
it's okay.
I mean, I'm drinking the Don Schwaben. I don't know how you actually say that, but the Goldfinger beer. It's delicious.
The Vienna.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Yeah, solid beer.
And then I think I said this the last time we talked about, we did this, but I had one of my own beers that I really liked.
You said that last time.
Yeah, I don't try, but it is, it's really good.
You said
good.
That also
and
last
it will tie
time.
Into what we're talking. It will tie into what we're talking about. It's a cucumber version of Finer Points of Bad Behavior.
Okay.
So it's like a Brett Brooks and cucumber beer. It's like a series of fruit beer we do, but it's just tasting amazing right now.
Okay.
It'll be at the thing we're going to talk about.
All right. That's cool. Oh, I have something. I'm going to blow up somebody's spot a little bit.
Sick.
Yesterday, I was here in the bar opening it up. And right at opening, or shortly thereafter, two people came in. That was very loud. That was loud water gulps.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's thirsty.
Yeah. Usually we have to tell people, like, no, you got to get right into the mic.
Not me, baby. Media trained.
Yeah, but now you know. Just get right up into the mic. Let my Adam's apple just go, right on it.
Just trying to drink some water. I'd stay hydrated.
Yeah. So somebody from, should I say the literal brewery?
Yeah.
Okay. Schneiderweiss came in from Germany.
Uh-huh.
Very nice guy. We talked about the industry a little bit and what... you know, the state of imports was and German imports and wheat beers and stuff like that, Chicago specifically, but also other places. He was going to Texas after that or the following day, so it would be today. And there was also the rep, and he brought us this beer. I was like, oh, I brought you a beer. You want to open it now? I was like, oh, you know, I'll wait. And it was, like, called Love Beer, and it was a collaboration they did with, it seems like kind of like a cheeky German brass band, but not an oompa band. Like, they're like a brass rock band type thing.
Sure.
And they did a collaboration with them. And, like, you know, some places do brewery collabs. We're doing a collab with them. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So they're like, it's a little bit lighter. It's, you know, good kind of like starting getting into summer, you know, spring, summer wheat beer. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it goes to show how I'm not in the... not doing the buying anymore. I'm not like as intimately familiar with what's on the shelves here. And then the bartender came in for the day. I just kind of like opened. I showed up to him. He's like, oh, I think we've had that before. And he looks at it and he was like, oh yeah, this is from 2022.
The one they brought you was?
Yeah.
And it was like a light summer wheat beer?
Yeah.
Like, it was canned in 2022? Wasn't
bottled.
This a beer they had been making
500-mil bottle. You know, it's Schneider. Most everything they do is in this classic German 500 mils.
Sure.
Yeah. So a dude from Germany, I'm sure he didn't bring it from Germany. He just probably got it off a dusty shelf from the distributor here, who I've seen the shelves there in their warehouse, and they sometimes have literal
dust,
thick layers of black soot on the boxes. I don't know how it possibly could be like that. I mean, they might have like...
Is it next to a soot factory?
It might. Honestly, I was thinking like it might be what it's next to. But anyway, I was like, wow. Like, because this guy like knew his stuff. We were talking, like having some decent, you know, in-depth inside baseball conversations, and drops off a bottle from... It was early. It was like February or January. No, it was from like February or very early March 2022. So a solid 2 years old.
Is it possible that this is a regular beer that they make and that he just didn't...
Maybe.
He just assumed, saw it there and just didn't think that it would be 2 years old and didn't think to check?
It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's excusable.
Sure. Did you drink it?
Now, here's what it also could be. I think that's possible. What I say is also possible, and I think, sadly, might be more likely. They were at the warehouse, they saw a bunch sitting around, and they said, oh, why don't we try to hand some of these out, and if people like them, you know, they'll order them. Mm-hmm. We'll have them open it in front of us, and we'll say, yeah, it's good, right? You want
take
a case?
Take the bottle back, so they can't tell how old it is.
And or I mean, not even like would people even think that, and then say, well, should I put you down for a case? Yeah, sure. You know, and
I wonder if it was also
maybe
the distributor was like, we can't bring in any more SKUs until we move through the SKUs we have. And the guy's like, well, this has got to move. It's gotta
right.
Go.
Right. Who knows?
Yeah.
Not a good look. No. I was very surprised for that to come from someone like Schneider. Just is not something I would expect from them. So who knows why?
Yeah.
I'm telling you what happened. And I'm speculating as to why it happened, but I don't know. It also could be, but I think this is quite unlikely, that they have a impossibly difficult to decipher bottling code.
A Julian code.
But I do not think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, like 062.22. Pretty obviously a Julian. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's exactly what it was, in fact.
Did you open it?
Opened it today. Uh-huh. After we were
you
doing that. We clowned on it a little while. And it tasted old. Now, again, you know, maybe that was because it tasted old.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'll keep that
in mind for our game later. You try to trick me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's this flat, warm, old beer? It seems like it's been open since this morning. So that was a bummer, but that is not a beer that I was looking forward to having, but I think we're both looking forward to having some beers this Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Swansea, Cantillon's, I don't know, biannual celebration. They do it every other year now. They used to do it every year. Now it's every other year.
I forgot it was every other year.
Yeah.
And I forgot that biannual can mean that or twice a year.
I know. That's why I like to say
like flammable
afterwards
and
which
inflammable.
One. Right. Which one I mean.
Yeah.
So it's.
But then why say it biannual? That's just not used biannual anymore.
What should you use then?
Just say they do it at once every other year.
All right. Well, whatever. They do it once every other year.
There we go.
And, yeah, it's, like, invite only. Pretty, like, I would think it's, I mean, I think it's very cool to be asked to do it. Because it's not even by the market. It's, like, we have to have someone in Chicago. We have to have someone. It's not necessarily even like that.
Sure.
So it's cool.
It's also one of those things that it's, like, it's literally all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it's had staying power. Like, there's been plenty of breweries in the past. Like, I probably went to my first Swansea Day in, like, 2011. And, like, it's been a significant thing that everyone's cared about since then. And, like, there's plenty of stuff that has come and gone. Like, plenty of cool releases or plenty of cool beer things to do that have come. Like, Hunapu Day or, like, I don't know if people still wait in line at Binny's for Bourbon County Stout or whatever. But, like, things like that. Like, it was around then, and it's still something that people care about coming to and experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah, and they brew a beer for it. So their Swansea kind of, I think, means, like, kind of like a little joke.
And,
right. I think it means, like, a little joke or, like, a whimsical joke or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different beer. Each time, it's always a lambic. I'm almost certain.
They've done it. Didn't they do a dark one year?
Mm-hmm.
Like a stout?
Maybe. Yeah, they've done all sorts. This one is like was aged underwater.
Sick.
Yeah, in the sea, in like somebody's like abalone farm in like clay pots or something for a year.
That
like,
sounds crazy.
Something weird.
The bottles were or like. There was like sealed
maybe
barrels.
It was the bottles. Maybe it was the bottles. I have to look.
There's that like Jefferson's Ocean Aged bourbon that they do that too. And there's some
wait,
rum
but
that
they,
has that happened too, where they put the actual.
Oh, they put it in. I thought they put it like on.
They put it on a ship.
Yeah, but they this one I think is underwater for like a year or something like that. Yeah, it's what is the beer? Well. I'd have to look it up, and we'll have to see. Will they say what the beer is? I don't know.
When I saw the imagery, I'm like, what is this, kale? Like, what is in this beer? Like, cause there's like very lettuce, like leafy kelp things on the imagery this year.
Yeah, it's leafy kelpy stuff. Kind of see if there's information about what the beer is. I'm at Side Projects. They're talking about all the fancy beers you get for it. For you can get Green Cheek, you can get Side Project and Other Half and Monkish and Zool. There is no Dana available, only Zool. Yeah, it's okay.
What is Zool?
It's a brewery. Z-U-L, I guess. It's a brewery, I suppose.
Isn't that like the... Never mind. Isn't that from Dude, Where's My Car?
No, it's from Ghostbusters.
Oh.
There is no Dana, only Zool.
Right.
But I don't know if that's how they spelled it there in that movie. But so this is what it's going to be. It will be to the Swansea blend. The primary addition to the Swansea blend will be a type of sea lettuce that is used for abalone farming in Brittany in France. There is a special batch of the Cantillon Goose that was laid submerged, aging in the sea there. The beers are aging in harmony with the local mollusks who feed on different sorts of algae. This sea lettuce is the best of these algae and seaweeds to... This is not written well.
It's probably just Google translated.
Yeah, maybe. Salinity to it, something like that. So
bottles. But the beer itself has the seaweed in it, and then it was also aged underwater? Because they can't be saying it's going to add salinity to the beer if it's bottled.
Well, the seaweed.
Yeah, so the seaweed's in the beer. Like, they use the seaweed like they would use fruit.
Right.
And then they also aged it underwater?
So there's a special batch of a few dozen bottles of Cantillon Goose lying submerged. So
the Swansea wasn't.
I don't know. I have to look that up. I don't know how much... this is just from a blog that looks like it's maybe not in English originally. But so that's what it was. It should be a good time. We almost didn't have it because, as we talked about in the past, the importer who brought in the beer found themselves without a distributor locally.
Yep.
And we didn't know up until just like a couple weeks ago if we were going to have it or not. In fact, the beer has still not landed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think the beer is coming Thursday. So,
how long does it take to get through customs?
The beer dropped today. No, it's already been in the States. It's been in the States.
It's not here.
But it's not here in Chicago because they had to find a new distributor, ink a deal, you know, figure all that stuff out.
Well, they were bringing it in
anyway
to the States, yeah.
But not necessarily into Chicago.
Got it.
And
it
was looking very much like, and this was post us announcing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we announced we had it, and then we, behind the scenes, people were like, well, you announced it, then you haven't said anything. We're like, yeah, it's because we might not be getting it again.
Yeah.
But good on Heartland Beverage.
We're back, baby.
Yeah. Our friend of the show, Brian Kirby, they signed Lime Ventures. So that was great.
Great.
And
so what should people expect when they get here, Chris?
Well, I think one of the really cool things about the fest is that, or this event, is that you can do it any way you want. You get some kegs. Every location gets one keg of the Swansea and other kegs of other Cantillon, and that's it. And you can do whatever you want. And some people, it's just like, that's what's on tap today. Now, one thing about Swansea is it taps at the same time all over the world is what they want. So at 2 p.m. here is when we'll be tapping it. But... I think, it looks like Side Project was selling tickets to their thing. I don't know how many they were doing. Mine is based on the first Swansea that we had gone to, you and I. There's an ambulance going by. Hope they're okay.
Bye, my cat.
Yeah, exactly. So at West Lakeview Liquors, they first hosted Swansea, mm-hmm. one of the first places, I think, in the country to host Swansea. And they did it as a kind of like a backyard cookout thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty informal. So that's kind of what inspired me 2 years ago and what we're going to continue to do. A little bit more formal than that, meaning like I wanted to make sure that everybody...
Well, that was illegal, so.
Well, like, right, but so, I don't know if it was or if it wasn't.
It was.
Okay. And I don't even know in what way it was, and that's not really important, but what I wanted to do was have a certain amount of tickets so I could make sure everybody got some, because I know at, like, Christina's, like, it would go on, and then that didn't mean you got it.
Right.
You know? You were just there.
Right.
And there was a big bottle share, and they had food and stuff like that, so... We're going to have guest beers. I think you will be there.
That's
pouring.
Right. I will.
Rob at Supermoon will be there.
Nice.
We'll have Tom from Goldfinger.
Hey.
He's going to bring a big old 50-liter cask.
Nice.
We're going to have lots of friends at the show here. A Hop Butcher will be there.
Nice.
Friend of the show, Matt Brendelson, will be there.
Really, really?
Personally.
Oh, wow.
No, he won't. But his beer will.
Oh, he's coming.
That's in May.
May. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We should put that in the calendar.
Yes.
We forgot about that when we were talking about new shows.
Yes. But
we were starstruck that night.
Who else is? We're not going to have. We'll have Surly pouring some NA beverages. We're going to have a coffee roaster.
Surly will be pouring NA beverages.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we wanted to have
it.
We wanted to have. Like a hop water or something like that there
cool.
for people just to drink. And we thought of who has one that they're interested in, that they've been, you know, trying to push.
Sure.
And Surly is always, like, just a really great partner to us.
Yeah.
So we try
Chris.
To...
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
Yeah, and he's just a really good at his job.
Mm-hmm.
So so they will be here. Obviously, the Canteon will be here. And... yeah, I'm sure there's probably one or two that I'm forgetting, but I don't think that's super duper important. Off Color will be here as well.
They're super duper important.
Yeah, they are super duper important.
John was actually at the bar before.
He's here right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Are we blowing up a spot? We maybe shouldn't say that. But
I mean, this doesn't come out while he's... If he's still here when this comes out, then
he's
got a bigger problem.
Whatever. Ryan's making porchetta sandwiches.
Awesome.
And Wally is the 12-inch Grinch. will be there.
It's about records.
Yes. Yes.
That name is.
Yes. Exactly. What's his name? He's got another one. I forget. It's a Ebenezer Scrooge play. It's a 12-inch Grinch and, like, Ebenezer...
Chopped and Scrooged.
Yeah, Scrooged. I forget what it was, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So he'll be here, and awesome. It'll be a fun old time, as long as it doesn't rain. Can't rain. We're doing it outside.
Don't say it out loud, then it will rain.
No, but I'm knocking on wood as I say it. There you go. So... There you go. Here you can hear the sound isolation and how good it is.
Yours See? Is pretty good, actually.
Mine's pretty good. Yours not as good.
It's not that bad, though.
Not as bad.
Not bad.
Professional
studio.
Yeah. So it should be fun. You'll be there, right?
Absolutely. Like,
okay. Cool. Serge may be there.
Maybe.
He forgot about it. It's okay.
If y'all are lucky.
I asked if he wanted to DJ. He said no. So...
Damn, Serge.
Yeah, I was going to have him and
who's
Wally.
The real, who's the 12-inch Grinch now?
Exactly. Exactly.
And he's cutting our mics. I think.
Yeah, he is. He's fading us out. So yeah, it'll be a good old time, and it is fun to think that there are a lot of those going on at the same time all over the country, all over the world.
You feel really connected.
Yeah.
To a wildflower in Tasmania, mm-hmm. while they're tapping their Swansea at the same time.
I mean, they can't be doing it at the same time, could they? I mean, it'd be hard.
Maybe it's the next day. I don't know how time works.
Right. Right. Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. That's what we got going on. Is your cat okay? You're taking some messages?
She is texting me about the cat.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot going on with that, but I hope it goes smoothly. Well, you'll hear next week if it went smoothly, but so far, so good.
All right.
Considering I had to, like, float some checks, so to speak. Like, I had to put in, we're giving away, like, custom glassware for everyone who bought a ticket, and I had to put it in before I knew for sure if the Swansea was coming in. So, yeah. Like, I had to order it and pay.
Yeah.
It was from Grandstand. You have to pay them in full.
Right.
Ahead of time. And I was like, well, let's see how this goes. But it all worked out. It looks like, I mean, I think literally the beer did land like a few hours ago in Chicago. So that makes me feel a little bit,
all right,
a little bit better.
That's good.
Yes, that is good. So, yeah, this, I don't know if this show will be out in time, but if not, and you haven't hit me up for tickets, too late. People are definitely coming out of the woodwork. This is now, I save a few tickets because I know it's going to, like, the days leading up, I'm just going to get texts,
yeah,
where I literally have to say, like, who is this? I only have a number. Who is this? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You can have one.
Sure.
No big deal.
Nice.
So.
We'll come on next week and talk about all the people who text you that didn't get tickets.
Yeah, I'll let you know if there were any.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there were. So far, it's been pretty good. But that's because I somewhat know how people work, and I know how many people are just going to, like, randomly reach out.
Yeah.
So.
It's always the case.
Yeah. And hey.
Should we do some letters?
Let's do some letters, man. So, why don't you tell people about how we like to receive letters?
Well,
while I set them up,
there's the classic electronic letter,
mm-hmm,
which can be sent over the internet to insiders at beertemple.com.
Craftbeertemple.com. Mm-hmm.
You can send us a written letter.
Yep.
You can type one up.
Yep.
You
hand
can
write it.
You can cut letters out of your favorite periodicals,
mm-hmm,
and reconstruct them into a ransom style note. You can draw us a treasure map.
Yeah.
You can, really, it's free form.
Yeah.
You can write us an acrostic poem.
Yeah.
And you can send those to the Beer Temple, which is
3173.
North Elston
Avenue,
Chicago, Illinois, 60618.
Yes.
I didn't know that part.
Oh, good.
I got that. Yeah, I knew that part.
And also, it's all in the show notes, too. So
yeah, it's all in the show notes. You can address it to me. You can address it to Chris. You can address it to the podcast. You can address it to Sergio. As long as you put that address on here, we'll find it.
We'll find it.
This is not like the CoPro where... That had its own.
Just goes missing.
In the mailroom, was dubious there.
Yeah. Pepe Silvia. Was in there.
There is no Pepe Silvia.
And if you want, if we read your handwritten letter, mm-hmm, or if you have an especially great, we'll offer it otherwise. But if we read a handwritten letter, it's known. You get 3-tier merch. Oh, we have to talk about. Our boy Don.
We saw him.
Yeah, who did we see?
We saw the man himself, the slickest name in the game, ROBTOD.
Yeah, Rob Todd. And who was he with?
He was with Too Many Ends Don.
Exactly. Don and then a Vixel.
Yeah, Don and Vixel.
Yeah, of 3-tiers. So we saw him hanging out.
Crushing Whites.
Yep, Crushing Whites, hanging out.
Showed us a video of him and Sam Calagione buying beer at a bodega in New York.
Yep. Buying their own beers.
Yeah, buying their own beers.
Walking into a bodega, buying a 60-minute and an Allagash White, and then Sam gives his phone.
Yeah.
They're all camera phones these days.
He's got this high-flutin
to the person working behind the counter, and then just takes the bottle of beer and puts it on the counter and just, you know, slaps the top and knocks the bottle off and starts drinking it in the bodega. I mean, it was pretty epic.
Yeah.
And especially when you have the employee like, here, watch me do this thing that I shouldn't be doing in your store.
What are they going to do?
Here, videotape it
yeah.
as proof that I did this in your store. Yeah. You let me.
That's right.
But that was a...
That's the level I hope to get to one day.
Yeah, yeah.
Committing
it was funny.
Misdemeanors and having someone film me to doing that.
And Don definitely got a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, Doug, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Nostra Douglas, mm-hmm. a.k.a. the Beer Cruncher, a.k.a.
The Beer Aficionado,
he was there, mm-hmm. and I was telling him... you know, I had to be there just to see those two together, yeah. but like
to prove it.
You know, what am I going to say to Rob Todd? I don't know him. You know,
right?
I like shake his hand, like, oh, cool.
Yeah,
I've met you twice before. You don't remember?
Yeah. Also, Chris Leinert of Left Hand was there. They're launching a Nitro Belgian White.
Yeah.
And he once gave me a haircut in a Hutong in China.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Don is the proprietor of Three Tier.
Yep.
Some of the hottest merch in the game.
Yep. Sponsor of the show.
This only free, for now. Yeah. For now, the only
the
one.
Free sponsor of the show.
Yeah, but we'll know. We might have another one. Mom on that.
Yeah.
Might have a
grooming.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Exactly. So so let's get to it. So a bunch of these, I think I'll start out by saying we asked people who listened during our April Fool's show. So I will now say it's been a couple weeks. It was an April Fool's show. I still have people coming up asking me if it was an April Fool's show, how much of it was April Fool's, and I say there might have been like the first 5 minutes where we were talking about. Like, I think generic stuff, but uh-huh. other than that, and other than Eric working in the coffee industry,
right.
everything else was 100% bullshit.
And you giving him a hard time for being on his phone.
Yes.
That was true.
That was also true. Everything else was not true. For long-time listeners, you know, that's not the... We did one with him before. Very similar. So
I've never made a joke with Eric on this show in my life.
It was a pretty, it was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous show.
I didn't know it was a joke while we were recording it, to be honest.
I will say I never listened to our shows.
Me either.
I've listened to both of our April Fool shows in their entirety. Just I had to go through and listen.
Because you wanted the three-tier merch?
I wanted the three-tier merch. And I just wanted to see if it was... Before I like put it out, I was like, "Well, I'm going to put it out no matter what. How embarrassed should I be?"
And yeah,
both times I've been like, "Oh, it's it's not as bad as I thought."
Yeah.
The first time with Gallagher, I literally had belly laughs listening to
that
it.
That might be where my contributions to the show really peaked. It's all been all about.
It might have been. I mean, it might have peaked. But I asked at the very end of the show, if anyone was still listening and made it all the way through, you had to let us know. And a lot of people have let us know. I think we've already read a couple of those, but here's a few more.
No more three-tier merch after this show airs, though, now that you know if you listen to that entire show and email us.
True. Well, I did say
that
it on the
sailed.
Show. Oh, I see, because you wouldn't have known otherwise. I get it. Yeah, that's true. And also remember to sign your letters the way you want to be... referred to.
Mm-hmm.
So this person didn't sign it, so I won't say who it was.
The Rizzler.
But the subject was per request, and it just says, I survived to the end of episode 322. So if you're the person who wrote that and you want some three-tier merch, you just got to let us know where you want it sent. So I will archive that. Here's another one. This is from Rick. Hey guys, you got me. I listened to the full episode. However, I should let you know that I had earbuds in and I was brewing up a fresh batch of my Kolsch style beer while listening. This means I had gloves on and and did a lot of cleaning of equipment while going through the brewing process, and the earbuds stayed in, and the episode continued to play. So he was incapable.
His hands were wet, and he couldn't take his phone out of his pocket. That's our audience.
Yes.
People that can't hit skip.
And he did say, hey, I did want to know more about the coffee, because he was going to that big coffee expo we had. And then he says, send me some pre-tier merch. And he also said, here's a tip. Kombucha on lucre faucets is the next big trend. Obvi. So thank you.
Milko pours of kombucha.
Rick, I'm going to forward that to our fulfillment center, which is
Sergio.
Okay. And also Mike Shalal.
Oh, that one bounced. Weird.
There, no, I'm going to do your Google. Okay. I'll get it done. I'll forget about it, but you guys will help me kind of coordinate that. Okay. Now, we have one. The subject of this e-letter is worst period episode period ever period.
Comic book guy.
There isn't enough three-tier swag to make up for the pain inflicted, but good of you turkeys to try, Seth. So he didn't say he wanted any three-tier merch. So if you want some three-tier merch, you got to let us know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if you have any specifics, say what you want. I mean, do you want a kayak, I think he has.
90-gallon Yeti cooler?
Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Cybertruck.
Doesn't run, but it is the Cybertruck.
Here's another one. Literally not even a subject. It didn't even write a subject on this one.
That's what warranted.
Or sign it. I actually did make it to this point on Ep 322. Honestly, I fell asleep on a flight, but that counts, right? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Really need to taste that Japanese metric. Oh, really need to taste. You really need to taste it from the Japanese metric threads. Totally different from experience from the European.
That's got to be.
There you go. That's true. All right. Well, now I do have to try that.
There are specific Japanese faucets now.
No, I know. I think that's probably what he's referring to. Yeah.
Is that Zygmus?
No, it wasn't. So now we have a few other non-April Fool's related episodes, okay?
Nice.
This is from our pal, HT. That's how it was signed. It says, hey, Chris. Hey, Mike. Hey, guests. No guests today. What Serge. Do you think of breweries using AI for beer labels? I hate it. I think it's anti-craft. I'm also incredibly biased, and I like to yell at clouds. Well, you're calling it. You're writing into the right show. Your pal, HT. I'm guessing a lot of places are doing it, right?
I have no idea. I haven't seen one.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I have a cousin who works in tech, and like years ago when he was like getting into it, he sent me like a bunch of questions about like, would you use machine learning for beer recipes? Yeah, that was like way before ChatGPT was the thing you could like access. And I was like very adamantly like, no, part of why I do this, and it's not the only reason you need to do this, is to like have human expression and connection with people. And so something about that even takes away from that. Labels, right. I don't know. Like some beers have as much thought put into them as just like calling up an AI-generated label. So
true.
Why not let it represent what your Snickers bar kettle sour is doing, you know? How much thought you put into that, and let the label
speak for itself.
Speaks for itself, yeah. I mean, it could be funny. I don't think AI art is to the point where it will create something that is like compelling and sincere unto itself. It can probably create something that is like funny. Like my favorite uses of AI for art is trying to break it and like get it to do absurd things.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's good at right now.
Yeah.
Like being like, whoa, this machine, if you push it far enough, will do this insane stuff.
Yeah. I saw some place where they were having like faux paintings made, but they were all in the style of the supposed A-Rod as a unicorn.
Like, Minotaur kissing himself.
Yeah, where he's like, you know, in this like fantastical place.
That's a real thing. You've seen
those. No, I know, yeah. but these were done in that style. I was like, oh, that's
pretty
funny.
Good. Yeah.
And it wasn't something where they're going to hire someone to do it, because it was just a kind of a little joke that they were doing. Sure. But I'm with you. Maybe as jokes, you could do it. But, I mean, if you wanted to have a series where you're having, I don't know. I think if you were to do it as a joke, AI, you would really have to put in, I think, some thought into it, to how you want it to be a joke and how you want it to, you know, do this and that. And I don't know. I mean, then maybe you are kind of guiding it very much. So maybe there is some kind of creative input there to kind of get the output that you want.
Yeah. I think for like label copy, like if you have like writing on your label, not that we're probably one of the only brews that still does that, but it probably would be good at that. Mm-hmm. Like write me like a paragraph describing a saison with pears in it or something. It'd probably be good at that. Be better at that than like draw me a label for a saison with cucumbers in it in the style of Joe Kraft. You know, like it's
right, like, right.
Better not. Watch out, Joe.
So yeah, that's kind of where. I mean, yeah. I guess I don't. I haven't.
We wouldn't even
obviously seen it that I know of.
Yeah,
but I'm sure.
I don't want them to do happening. That. I don't want people to do that, because even though art's expensive, like part of owning a business and doing this something creative, like making beers, to kind of sustain an ecosystem of creative people and paying them to do it is part of that, right?
Right. Like, I mean, so, the crazy thing is, like, they could also very easily kind of like rip off Iswas, because they could just scan in a bunch of your labels and be like, I want it to be evocative of that. And AI is very good at doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Watch out, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess you could do it yourself. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. Okay.
That's the type of guy I am.
Thanks, pal. so we have one last letter. We have time for one more?
Yeah.
Why not? We're getting through this pretty quick. Our last letter is also not signed, so I won't say who it's from. Remember, guys, sign them if you want us to call you out. Subject, English hops. Chris and Mike, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the lack of use of English hops in American IPAs. So specifically American IPAs, okay. At this point, the combination of Northwest, Southern Hemisphere, and Noble hops have been done backwards and forwards in any arrangement possible. It seems the use of English hops, either on their own or in combination with other more widely used hops in the U.S., is an area that is lacking exploration. I, for one, really enjoy the woody, earthy, and even tea-like notes of EKG, East Kent Goldings, Fuggles, etc. Can present and feel that they'd play really well with other more fruit forward or even piney hops. If there are any breweries / beers that you all know, sorry, geez, I can't read, that you all know of that do play in this realm, please let me know. Really enjoy the show. Keep doing what you guys do. I plan to be in Chicago in early April and look forward to my first visit to the Beer Temple. Thank you, unnamed person. Well, good news. I got good news and bad news. There is a beer that uses Kent Goldings in a pale ale. It's not an IPA, and it's absolutely amazing. It's one of the more memorable beers that I've had.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's great. The bad news is it was made by Green Flash probably like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
maybe 5 years ago. Nah, more than five. Between 5 and 8. So it's not made anymore. But
7.5.
It was great. And it worked. And I think it, I don't know if it was entirely, but it was called Goldings. And it was certainly showcasing those beer, those hops.
Yeah.
Why aren't they used? I think you said, in my mind, I think you said why they're not used. Because I think they're woody and earthy, and a lot of times they can taste like dirt.
And when you mix those flavors with fruitier flavors, you muddle them, right? So like this, the person who wrote this might enjoy that because they know there's English hops in there, that it has this earthy and fruity flavor. But for most people drinking IPAs these days, they didn't really come up drinking English style beers or English pale ales and then discover these American hopped IPAs. They started drinking American hopped IPAs, and there's probably this impulse for modern American IPA to kind of shun the predecessor, you know, kind of the necessary thumbing the nose of the father. So if these flavors, these crystal malts and tea-like earthy hop character was the predecessor of American IPA, the forefather of American IPA, this generation of American IPA brewers don't want to have those things in there because it's reminiscent of the thing they're kind of evolving away from or rebelling against, if that makes any sense.
And if they did want to do it, they certainly would, because those hops are
cheap,
comparatively very cheap.
Yeah. They just have a tough time standing up to the American hops too. Like, they're much lower in alpha and total oils. So like, to get a balance of flavors of those, the poundage of the English hops you'd have to use to like balance something like Citra to actually have them speak equally,
I can't imagine,
is absurd.
So and I think at that point you start getting like vegetative or astringent qualities or something.
And just inefficient.
They're just not meant for that. I think those beers, those hops maybe would play better with a noble hop or something like that. But the American ones, I think a lot of them would just, like you said, overpower them.
And I think there's something about kind of like middle of the road or compromise kind of things that just don't work as well. Mm-hmm. Like this like blending of the old school and new school of those hops to create something that's like a hybrid of an English style and American style thing. It's like you just end up with something that's not as good as either of them. It's like how I feel about a lot of like beer wine hybrids too, right? Where I've yet to have one that I'm like, this is better than if I were to drink a really good version of this beer or a really good version of this wine, where it's like,
I think the closest, the best by far at doing it was Matt Fritz. He had some pretty amazing ones, I feel.
Yeah, those.
But I don't even know if those were wine beer hybrids. They were like using wine grapes, but I don't know if I would call those hybrid beers. Maybe they were. I'm trying to remember.
I mean, those, I don't even know if I put the beers he makes in like a similar category, because they're just so.
But I don't know if they were like co-ferment beers necessarily. Yeah.
But they're fantastic. But most of the time, they're like, you kind of split this middle road where instead of it being something where the combination of the two is greater than some of its parts, it's somehow less than. And that's my intuition about combining English hops and like modern American hops, is that you'll end up with this thing that isn't quite as ethereal and fruity as the American IPA would be, but also isn't as like grounded and herbaceous and woody as the English thing would be. You just end up with this thing that just both bring them down.
They are lovely, though. They're really good. They're great in IPAs. I just don't know if they're great in American IPAs. I haven't had them in conjunction that I know of with American hops. But they're also used a little bit differently. They make great kettle hop flavor. They're often used. I don't know how much they're not really dry hopped the way that American IPAs are, but they use like hop backs where they're almost doing like a big whirlpool addition, kind of, as I think is what we would think of them as, kind of the same way. I think it's slightly different. But.
I mean, I wonder if there's space for something that's like how a Timbo is like basically a traditional Pilsner until it comes out of the hot side and then it's dry hopped like an American IPA. If there's something like that that could work, where,
I mean, that's, I think, what that Green Flash beer was essentially. It was like an English pale
and then
with a lot of East Kent Goldings in it,
right?
And it was amazing. It was so good, and it was earthy and floral. It tasted like, you know, this is going to sound so lame, but it was kind of had this like, you know, evocative of like flowers coming out of like the soil in the spring or something like that. It had like both of them there, but it wasn't like dirt I think of as like old and dusty. And this was like fresh soil
and
and flowers,
yeah,
which is very much more pleasant.
Yeah, there's also probably an element to it that you kind of have to, like, they're incongruous in how you have to think about using them, where American, like, Pacific Northwest modern hops are very, not all of them, but the ones we use a lot are, like, auto-tune-y almost, mm-hmm. where you're, like, you can use a pretty wide spectrum, wide amount of them. Like, you can use, like 1 pound, two, like, use different volumes of them and get a very, like, get a similar effect at in different intensities.
Yeah.
Whereas the English hops aren't necessarily like that. They'll, like, turn, like, from flowery and tea-like to, like, dirty. Whereas, like, when you use more Citra, you're just going to get more Citra until you get green and burny. Mm. Whereas, like, some of the English stuff doesn't just build on itself. It will.
I also think there's a lot of difference in the lots. I've had, like, horrible, like, beers that have Fuggle.
Yeah.
And, like, the Fuggle you get with homebrew can just be, like, really, like, gross. And I thought I didn't like Fuggle, but, you know, it has that character. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love people to try. I'd love to try it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see more of it. And it'd be interesting for you to say like what, you know, Italian pills is to pills. Maybe there can be something like that for like a bitter or something like that, which a lot of people would probably say, yeah, it's called the APA, dude. But I mean,
I think that there's something fundamentally different. I think,
yeah, maybe there
Cascade
could be
is a far jump from just putting more Goldings into something.
You want to take a break and then start our little competition?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do that. We'll be back soon. All right, welcome back to the Beer Temple Podcast.
I can smell one of these from here, I think.
Okay, good. I am your host, Chris Quinn, and I am joined by our other host, Mike Shalow. So we each took turns doing three beers, and I have my three beers in front of you right now, Mike. So here's the deal. I just want to put it out there. You can have it as a contest. I did not intend for this to be a contest.
I didn't come here to make friends.
Yeah. I didn't. So by way of that, like when we do like the Jeopardy and when I do like on Instagram or something, the guess this beer from back in the day and stuff like that, like we would pick beers that we felt the people had a chance to get. And I'm not saying I didn't pick beers you specifically couldn't get, but it didn't play a role at all.
Sure.
I just picked some beers.
These are very different.
They're all over the place. Yeah. And I can give you some more information if you want some, like, information about them. But,
and I'm just supposed to guess the beer.
Yeah, you can go in any order. Just, I don't know. Oh, why don't you rate it on a 5-point bottle cap scale?
All right.
Rather than, because you want me to, guessing the beer, you can try to, like, give me as much information, I guess, as you can. All right. But
so just
start in any order you want. So
beer,
that one.
Beer one is like a pale golden color. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Like, probably, I don't know if I could read a newspaper through it, but pretty close.
Yeah, it's like, it's clear to brilliantly clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that kind of sparkling clear.
Yeah.
And once we reveal the beers, I can give you some information about, like, the specific packagings of the bottles or the cans or whatever.
Once we reveal it after that, you can tell me what...
I can tell you, like, yeah, like, you know, if it's relevant.
Okay.
You know.
This has, like, some esters to it. Some, like, pretty...
Yeah, so like golden beer.
Belgian-y.
Mm-hmm.
Very dry.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. Like, it's definitely something Belgian, I think. Or something with a Belgian yeast. I don't know if it's from Belgium.
Right, right. Again, I'm not, no intentional curveballs, no, you know.
I can't tell the ABV on it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's higher.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might just be bitterness. My mouth is broken.
Mm. Yeah, I can get that, too. I definitely can get some, like, bitterness at the end. I don't think you're wrong there.
That it's high?
that there's like a little, there's a little something on the end, and I think that
it's pretty phenolic.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Kind of has that like peppery phenolics. Yeah.
Can I ask other questions about that? Like, will you answer, like, is this from Belgium? Or are we not doing that? This isn't like the
why don't you rate it first? Then we can do that.
I give this like a 3.8 to 3.85.
So like caps. 5 would be like a zombie dust, and like 3.5 would be Allagash White.
That's right. Yeah.
Got it. I just want to set the scale.
On a 2.5 to 5 scale.
Okay, so you give this a 3.5, you said?
3.8.
3.8. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty high, I think. Okay. And what do you want to know about it? Is it Belgian?
Yeah, it's actually from Belgium.
Yes.
It is from Belgium.
It is, yeah.
Is it just a strong golden ale?
Or it is.
Is it a triple? It's a strong golden ale. Yeah. Is it Duvel?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is it Duvel.
It's Duvel.
Is this how you want this to go? Or should
I don't know.
To guess?
Yeah. We were going to do them all at once at the end.
Oh,
but
sorry.
We can do it. No, let's do it this way. Yeah. I didn't really have it. That is totally fine for me. Yeah, Duvel.
And there's... Oh, okay. Nice. All right.
That's what it is.
Honestly, doing this, like, because you're so good at it, and I've never really done it, is like one of the most like scary things to do like on a recorded show. Like,
not meant.
I'm gonna like lose my beer cred because I'm not gonna know any of these. So getting one is very nice.
No, you did. It was a bottle. We're not sure how old the bottle was because we don't know how far out they set.
Their
Best Buy. The Best Buy is in sometime in 25, so we were kind of curious if it could really be a year old, because it says, like, would they do a two-year Best Buy? I don't know. So it could be anywhere from a year old to...
Fresh.
Less than a year old. So
It's tasting good.
Yeah.
I think it's... The ABV is too high for me to really love it. Like, if the ABV of this was, like, it had all these flavors, but it was, like... 6%,
right?
5.5. Then I'd probably be higher than a 3.8.
But you get the burn, right? It kind of get the not a burn, but like a glow.
It's warmth, There's a warmth to it, which is like that. Sure. Why I was like, oh, the alcohol's high. But then at the same feeling of that is when the bitterness kind of takes over. So I was like, oh, maybe my mouth is broken, and that fusely almost. Mm-hmm. It's not fusel, but like high alcohol heat
and a very pure, like isolated bitterness too.
Yeah.
It's like
one.
Yes.
Note,
one type.
But full. Like it's like a and it's like a structural tannin. Yeah. Like the way people talk about tannin in wine being kind of structured.
Yes. Anyway. Okay.
Beer two. Like a brownish red color.
Uh-huh.
It's also quite clear.
It is.
Yeah. It's like brownish red. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very clear. It's not nearly as much foam on this one.
This is something that people get, shit for saying a lot, but it smells like it's going to be sour. It has like a Flemish kind of red or brune, almost acetic quality to its aroma. And that's kind of the predominant thing.
I haven't tasted it yet, but if this beer is not sour, I'd be shocked.
Shocked, yeah. That's the most of what I get. There's some
acetic. You get a little bit of that stingy in the nostrils.
Yeah, well, it's just like that aroma. It's like people say you shouldn't be able to smell sourness, but you can. You can smell the byproducts of lactic acid and acetic acid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely exactly how it smells.
Mm-hmm. Definitely sour.
Mm-hmm.
It's got
darker malt notes to it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's not like roasted necessarily, but maybe some like higher crystal or some sort of like a high amount of a higher kilned malt or a higher amount of a lower kilned malt or a smaller amount of a higher kilned malt. Did I say that backwards? There's some sort of right. It looks darker, but you also taste it. It's not acrid, but there's some sort of like melanoidin-y thing going on.
Yeah, there's that. And it has a little bit of like lemony, like mouthwatering quality to it. The acidity has a lemony note, but it also has some of that more like slightly acetic, sometimes like a little bit more of like a tart strawberry kind of thing too. So it's got this tart strawberry, tart lemon. It's got some malt to back it up. It's quite tart, but it doesn't seem to be one of those like tongue scrapers where it's just like wildly out of balance.
No, and it's light. It's not like sometimes beers of this color that are trying to do this style can be syrupy or thicker. Not that it's not full in its body, but it's just not it's not like viscous.
So any other comments on it? Anything else you're picking up on it?
There's like a bitterness to it. Mm-hmm. Not as profound as the first beer, but more than I would expect from a beer of this acidity and this this quality of acidity.
Uh-huh.
Like hops actually inhibit lactic acid, but there is definitely lactic acidity in this.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely lactic acidity. Yeah, there's that bitterness.
I don't get any fruit or anything that I can pick out specifically.
What do you rate it?
This is like a 4.
Okay.
4-1.
Yeah.
It's not overly acidic.
Very good.
This is like a...
That's a good score, right?
Yeah, that's good.
I would think so.
Yeah, it's good. It's like a Leafman's or something in that family. Like, is it Belgian? It feels
it's
Belgian.
Not.
It's not.
It's not Belgian.
Is it American?
Yes.
Okay. Is it from Chicago?
No.
Is it sold in the store?
No.
Okay. Is this a Russian River beer?
No.
Is it from the West Coast?
No.
So it's from the East Coast.
No.
Is it from the Midwest?
Yes.
Okay. Is this like a goose beer? Like, I don't know who would make something
like
this.
It's not from Chicago.
Right. It's like a Jolly Pumpkin beer?
Yes. It's a Jolly Pumpkin beer.
It is. A Bam Noir?
No. I mean, I doubt you will get the beer. It is La Roja Reserva.
Oh, the one with bourbon barrels.
Yes. So I think there's that bitterness, I think, is the oak, the tannin. There's a tiny bit of tannin in the back.
And there's like that bitterness is char.
Yeah, and it's also a 12-year-old beer.
Wow.
This is from 2012. There's a little bit of oxidative quality to it, but I think it works really well.
Yeah, no, I would never guess this is 12 years old.
Yeah. So it's a 12-year-old. I don't know if I've ever had this beer ever. I might have once, but I don't recall.
My main memory of this beer is that when we were opening, when Pipeworks was opening, BJ would always wear a Roja Reserva shirt. So that's like my memory is more of a shirt than having the beer.
Yeah.
But
the reason I picked this beer first of the three, and then the reason I got the Duvel was because the La Roja Reserva is in the Duvel glass, that weird like stubby with the ripple top looking thing. And I was like, oh, that's like a Duvel glass bottle. I was like, I'll do Duvel too. So that's why I picked those two.
Yeah, this makes total sense. That bitterness is char character, like that. It's not like a hop derived bitterness. It's like it's actually the burnt wood lignin bitterness, which is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now I knew that going in, and I picked up on it, and I think you were definitely right that there was like that bitterness thing was there.
Well, when I was still at Pipeworks, and I was getting like really freshly dumped bourbon barrels when they were still like wet before like they figured out they should rinse them out. We would get this stuff called char juice, which was when they would bung them and they would get shipped from Kentucky to Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Things would get colder, so it would suck this, like, the remaining liquid out of the wood. And it was just this, like, pitch black, like even no matter how much we filtered it, it was always disgustingly black. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was gross. But that woody char bitterness and tasting it, like, in a very concentrated form. Is diluted in here.
Interesting. Yeah, good beer, though.
Yeah,
very good. All things considered, I opened it up, and it was pretty limp. It wasn't very lively. I was like, oh, boy, this could be really bad. And I did not try it until we were just trying it right here.
No, it was good. And so many of these beers, when they have this type of nose, can get, like, nail polishy or, like...
Yeah, acetic imbalance is really hard to do because it can just run away and take over a beer in such a bad way.
Tiny amounts of it ruin stuff.
And I think it's good because it's still mostly lactic, but there's definitely some acetic acid here.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Great beer. Okay.
All right,
last beer. So also very pale, golden, not hazy, but not nearly as clear. And you're laughing. Why are you laughing?
Because it smells like peach rings. It smells like candy.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me this was a beer that had, like, Pichos in it, uh-huh. or some sort of, like, gummy worm, like,
yeah.
I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. It's so different than the first two beers you brought out, too.
Yes.
On the nose. I haven't even tasted it yet. But it also, it's artificial sweetness, too. It tastes, it smells like either something thiolized or some sort of extract or terpene or something that's, like, not because they dry hopped it with some sort of something. It's because some process that we've figured out as, like, evolved monkeys to like, create flavors we supposedly like. There's, like, a hollowness to it. It's very one-note Pichos to me. I mean, there's tropical fruit and fruit cup and all that kind of stuff, but to me, those all kind of just hit the same note, and we're just splitting fruity hairs. Manscaped.
Just looking some stuff up about the beer. Yeah, I mean, huge.
It's very confusing.
Huge fruit, yeah. Very, very, very fruity.
Yeah, no acidity.
What style of beer would you consider this to be?
IPA, pale ale, something like that. Mm-hmm. Probably like a...
It's not hazy, though, right?
No, it's not hazy.
It's not clear.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's not as clear as the other two.
No.
Definitely not as clear as the first one.
No.
But definitely not something I would consider hazy.
Would you say this is, it's clear enough to be considered a West Coast, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Is this from Firestone Walker?
No.
Okay.
Right, those stylized. No.
Mind Melter or whatever that one was.
No, you're technically supposed to rate it first.
Oh,
but
sorry,
I'll let you
my
go.
Bad, my bad.
I'll let you go.
I think this is a beer that they set out to do something, executed what they wanted to do, and I am not the target market for it. So this is, to me, is like a 2.
Okay.
I just can't get like gummy candy, which is not what I want when I'm drinking beer.
Sure.
It's just gummy worms and...
Yeah. There's something like that I know what it is that... Because I know what the beer is, that once I tell you what I think it is, it's 100% that, I think. And I think you're very right in what you're saying, by the way. I'm giving you hints. But
does this have any non-Rheinheitsgebot ingredients in it? Like not like lactic acid and stuff
outside
like that,
of grain? Like non-Rheinheitsgebot?
Are there things that are other than grain, yeast, water, and hops? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's what I was looking at. It doesn't say so.
Is it from the West Coast?
No.
Okay. It's American, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
it's American.
I feel like only Americans can make something this dumb. I shouldn't say that. I feel like I don't know who on the East Coast would make something like this. I don't know East Coast breweries, but
not from the East Coast.
So it's a Midwestern.
Great. I don't know if it's from
Colorado.
From Colorado.
Is this New Belgium? Is this like a Voodoo Ranger?
Yes, it is. This is Voodoo Ranger. I think it's the newest one. It's Voodoo Ranger Fruit Force, 9.5% alcohol. But you didn't pick up on that.
No.
Stronger than the Doodle.
Didn't at all. No.
Yeah.
It's sweeter, though.
Yeah.
There's no...
London Ale Yeast.
Okay.
The hops are Pato, Amarillo, Centennial Galaxy, Sabra, Lotus, and Strata. Malts are pale, malted oats, and white wheat. And they even give IBU 33. And that's all it says about it. So it doesn't... it doesn't say that there's fruit in it. Now,
yeah,
tasting it's called Fruit Force... and it says a fruit punch twist. Dude, it's Hawaiian punch.
Yeah, it's Hawaiian
punch.
Smells
like Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
100%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you said they were looking to do something and they executed it well,
yeah,
this tastes like Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... we got some peanut gallery looking in through the windows. I mean, that is... Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
It smells just like Hawaiian punch.
Yeah. And I think this is like when you list off, what, 8, 9 hops?
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily taste exactly. It's not as sweet. Hawaiian Punch is so sweet.
Yeah, sweet and more acidic.
Yeah.
But this is like they like wanted to make it taste like Hawaiian Punch, and they did. Like and like
and
this
make
is,
it 9.5. I mean, you could if you were
a young person,
you could get in a lot of trouble.
This is like
drinking this beer.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and I think it's I I'm not sure on the dates. That's why I said I can give you some more information after you. But this was best through August 25th. So my guess is it's probably from like February 25th. So it's less than 2 months old.
Yeah.
Is my if that's a at a 6 month code? Maybe it's in a 9 month. Maybe. I don't know.
But. I mean, it's there's no discernible flaws to it. Not even like that's not out of balance in any way. It's just a bunch of flavors that I don't like personally.
Yeah.
To drink.
Well, but I think you did amazingly well considering, as you could tell, like I just picked beers. And this one, the reason I was late. It was because I had to go to a couple places to find. I was like, I want a Voodoo Ranger.
I want
to just pick one.
Yeah.
So we don't keep it here. I've never had Voodoo Ranger before.
I wanted to have a theme for mine, and we'll do mine next. But one of the ones I didn't do was I was going to try to go to a 7-Eleven because you in the text you suggested like or go to a 7-Eleven whatever.
I went to a 7-Eleven.
And get the most disparate things I could find in 19.2s and call it the innovation flight.
right.
But I did not do that, maybe.
Right. Well, I put that in there.
I was like, I got to get
I already
Ranger.
Knew at that point I was going to go to a 7-Eleven and pick up some Voodoo. I had to buy a whole six-pack of it because I couldn't find any 19.2s at the place I went to. I had to go to two places to find Voodoo. The first 7-Eleven didn't sell alcohol, so I had to go to another place.
Oh, gotcha. I feel like every 7-Eleven.
So that is why I was late, by the way.
Yeah.
I think you did amazing in your blind tasting.
Thank you. I mean, I think I probably should have gotten. I don't know if I would have been able to get the Jolly Pumpkin any faster.
Impossible. Impossible.
Yeah.
No one can get that. Roja Reserva from 2012.
I had it in my sense memories.
Yes. All right. So we'll take a break and we'll do it again with your beers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Try to keep the visuals. I was trying to remember, like, as you were talking about it, I was trying to hold it up so people can kind of see.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Beer Temple Podcast.
Out that first part.
I have put a flight of beers in front of Chris that he has no knowledge of. I put a theme. There's an abstract theme to them that I had to.
They're very similar. Altogether. They're much more similar looking than. The three that I had given you.
That's true.
So, and is there, you want me to go in a specific order?
You don't have to. You can go in any order you want, but just so we're talking about the same beers, I told you which ones are in which order.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, this is, I mean, somewhat clear. They're all golden. They're all pretty similar. Let me see. All right. Well, it has a pretty mild aroma to it. Just from the aroma, I mean, at first I was thinking like Golden Ale or something like that, but I could see it being a lager. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I just have that Voodoo Ranger like literally in my mouth.
Still stuck
and
in
I
your
still
mouth.
Have some like fruitiness. I literally haven't, the last thing I drank was that Voodoo Ranger. I haven't had any water or anything. Okay. I mean, it's interesting. I'm drinking it now and I have the same
gummy worms.
No, I mean I'm thinking like the same thing, like, okay, this could be like a golden ale or it could be a lager. If it's a lager, I would say it's like a Helles lager. Or like a not Pilsner lager.
Okay.
Saying that there is a, well, okay. There's no hop character, but there's hop bitterness. Let me say that. So there's some like bitterness on the back end. not quite. Well, yeah, it reminds me kind of like how the Duvel bitterness kind of came on, like a very single note, pure bitterness. It has a these are different glasses, right? Because I'm getting like
these are different glasses.
Is it my hands? Like, where am I getting this fruitiness from?
Your brain, your olfactory, the beer, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. So, and I'm just taking these one at a time. So, if there's a theme, it might become clear after I try them all.
But yeah, you have to try them all. The theme is not is somewhat abstract.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just take them one at a time. I'm not going to even look at. I'm not even going to smell them all.
We'll culminate in the final boss. Will be, can you guess the theme?
Okay. I mean, I'm guessing it's a. So what am I rating it? I rate this
from 2.5 to 5.
Right, a 2.5 to 5. Although you gave it 2 of Voodoo Ranger, so it's a 1
well,
to 5.
Well, it was worse than Allagash White.
I mean, I'd say worse. This is. And I'm not a big Untappd guy, so I don't know like what makes a beer, what's a good score or not.
You go with your heart.
I would say this is like a. Yeah, like a. 3-2. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. If I had to guess style, I would say it is.
You don't want to ask any questions about it? Like, I was asking, like, where it's from and stuff.
Well, I'm going to guess, and then we'll start honing in on it. Maybe an American Pilsner.
That's spiritually kind of correct, but not correct.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my question is it a lager?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a Pilsner?
It is.
Is it American?
No.
No, obviously, because I said it was American lager, and it's a lager. It's a Pilsner. Okay. Is it German?
No.
Okay. No, I don't think I am going to get it. Is it? You don't have to tell me what it is. We can. You can tell me. Tell me later. Tell me later.
Are
what
you
it
sure?
Is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're edging.
We can. Yeah. Is it? Is it a from a giant brewery?
No.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. All right. Cool. I want to go on to the next one.
Okay, cool.
So next one looks very similar, looks very clear.
Yeah.
My mouth definitely, the bitterness on that last one grew. So my mouth is now pretty much completely dry and bitter. yeah, it is. I mean, it's assertive.
Yeah.
All right. Also very clear.
Yep. Pale golden.
Yeah. This one has more of like a chalky. There's like a chalky smell to this one. And something on my hand has that Voodoo Ranger smell to it. I mean, for real, because every time I bring up my hand, I'm getting that same like weird fruitiness. So I'm going to start drinking it from my other hand. Yeah.
Use your dominant hand.
It's funny. Yeah, it went away. There's something on my hand. There must be a remnant or something.
He's
of the Voodoo Ranger.
Already making excuses of why he's not going to get these beers.
No, I swear to God. And that's at first I was like, it's got this fruity thing to it. And then I'm drinking this other one. I was like, it's got that same fruity thing.
Yes, these are all thiolized.
Man, this one is so chalky. It's so... Yeah, wow. I mean, the minerality, if you will, is what is just like jumping out to me. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, now that you're saying it, it really is.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
This one, to me, is sweeter. I would guess this is a an American lager, either so my guess is that this is an American attempt at a premium lager, a craft take on a premium lager, okay, is what I would say. Otherwise, if that's not what it is, I would say it's an American like premium lager type thing.
The second is true.
Okay, yeah, because that's what it tastes like. Yeah. It tastes like it's like you know.
What made you think it was a craft attempt at it? Just because you didn't think I would pick something that's like a American lager, or is there something about it, its flavor or aroma, that made you think it might be an American, a craft brewer's attempt at an American lager?
I don't know why I said it, frankly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it'd make for better content if I nailed it. No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I would say this is like a Hams or something like that would be my guess. Something.
How many bottle caps would you give this?
Oh, for what it is, you know, it's better than most. I mean, it's above. It's better than a Busch Light. It's better than a Bud Light. I think I'm gonna enjoy that first one more. And what did I give that one? Like a 3-2?
3-2 for the first one.
I'll give this one a 2.75.
Okay. And you think it's Hams?
Sure.
I mean, that's close. Do you want me to tell you what it is?
Sure.
It's High Life.
High Life. Okay. Yeah. So I was going to say, at first I was going to say High Life, but then to me, High Life I think of as a little more sweet.
Sure.
Than this one.
So, I wonder if drinking the... Maybe I should have flipped these, but I did it on purpose, not to like mess your palate up, but so it wasn't just like, are you just going to give me a bunch of macro lagers?
Right, right.
But the high minerality life is something I've never... I never drink a High Life out of anything but a bottle. Like, I'll drink a can of High Life when I'm in Detroit with my in-laws, but you never smell it, really.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
It's good though.
Yeah.
And it's really
good.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's good. A little too fatty. A little too
flabby.
Yeah.
A little bit more
flabby.
Bitterness.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Okay. Last one.
Last one.
This one is not as clear as the other one. I think. It's pretty clear. Yeah. These are all pretty clear. Yeah. I take it back. It might have just been like the condensation on the glass. Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, way hoppier. Way hoppier than the others. This smells like Pivo to me.
It does it?
Yeah. Well, it has that like aroma. That perfumey aroma.
That Saphir aroma. Perfume.
Yes, that perfume aroma to me. Smells very good. It's like a lemony, perfumey aroma. Very, very perfumey. But here's the thing. Like, when you're doing this stuff, you talk yourself into things. And you can also talk yourself out of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going Pivo on that one. It's very good. That one is...
Try that one again.
Okay. Yeah.
This is really hard. I feel like if you've never blind tasted stuff, like, it's rough.
I mean, it's very hoppy.
You're using your Voodoo Ranger.
All right, I like it. Oh.
Okay, so
from a bottle
two,
cap
2.5 to
bottle
to
cap perspective, caps. This is way higher than the others.
Sure.
So I would say this is a 4.
And we said 2.5 is like Allagash White, 5 is Zombie Dust.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's in between that. Okay. So it's better than a white, not as good as a Zombo.
Right.
It's obviously not. It's obviously not Pivo, but
yeah, it's not Pivo. It's not a lager.
Mm.
That what the theme was not lagers.
Got it. Okay, that could have been tricking me.
Yeah.
I
said it was abstract. That would be a pretty straightforward theme.
That's true. Yeah, it doesn't have the crispness
of either of the two.
No.
So this is, but you wouldn't say it's flabby. You said the second one was flabby. Is this one flabby?
No.
Okay.
All right. So what beer could this be?
Yeah. It's not a lot. It's not a lager. I'll promise you that.
Yeah. No, I believe you. Is it American?
It is American.
Yeah. Is it from Chicago?
It is not.
It's Allagash White.
It is.
It's Allagash White.
Yeah, it's Allagash White.
It's a blind spot. It's a blind spot in because I botched it in the Jeopardy.
Yeah. It's
that coriander, now that I'm saying it, is leaping out to me.
And there's a touch of like a phenolic thing that's in there too. There's like a spiciness that's from the coriander and the phenolics. It is incredibly clear. So this is a stovepipe that was from here. I wonder if it was just sitting cold and I didn't like agitate it, or if this is just
how clear
it is. Because like the ones we were drinking with Rob Todd were on draft were much hazier.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just been sitting cold and it. Like the stable haze precipitated
by far the best beer of the three. By the way.
Yeah.
Now let me go back to this first.
Yeah, the first one. It's way more hoppy compared to the other two.
Way more, and it's not German.
I will say I don't think this is the best version of this beer I've had.
Okay.
I think it might be a little old.
Hmm. Okay. It's not German, though.
It is not German.
Is it... it's continental Europe, obviously.
It's European. Yeah, it's on the continent. I wasn't trying to be, like, tricky with that.
It has a little bit of, like, a nice kind of honeyed, biscuity quality to it. I mean, where I'm going is, is it? It's not Tipo.
It's Tipo.
Is it Tipo?
It's Tipo.
Okay.
It's a bottle of Tipo.
And
I had some.
It doesn't have the aroma.
The aroma's a little deadened.
Yeah. So what's the theme?
So Tipo, High Life, and Allagash White. What do you think the theme is?
I don't know.
It was just beers that brewers gush about.
Oh,
that's kind of the theme.
Got it.
I actually wanted to do High Life, Allagash White, and Orval.
Ah.
But you guys don't have any Orval, and I couldn't find
we
any
don't?
7-11.
Oh, we do, but I think it's behind the bar.
Oh.
Because we had Orval Day. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was none on the shelves. I asked J-Max, and he said, no, I don't know. We bought the last two cases, so I'm not sure if we have any.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're out of it because of Orval Day.
I pivoted to Tipo.
Yeah, which that's is fine. So how about that?
How about
me thinking Allagash White was Pivo Pils?
I would.
The guy who's so good at this game.
I would have never in a million years been able to guess that Tipo. That Tipo is not a good version of it, I don't think. Or an emblematic version. It was still a good beer.
Man,
but
Allagash White. High Life is so chalky. Yeah. Interesting.
Allagash White tasting great.
I mean, sorry, the High Life is Allagash White was by far the best. And it's interesting that I got in the mindset that they were lagers.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is going to be an American like hop lager.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it is. It's great. It's perfumey, which it is.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what's a perfumey lager? That's a great lager that Mike would want. Oh, Pivo. Pivo, we have it on draft. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Pivo was could have been in the same flight thematically.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I could see where that comes from, too. Like, sometimes those hops are, like, spicy.
Your brain talks you into and out of stuff. Tricks, on you. It's so hard to do.
Which also, like, just enjoy stuff, you know? Like,
just
have your brain tell you that you like it. Yeah, it's so much better.
I don't care. You know, it's you win some, you lose some. I thought Matilda was an Oktoberfest beer one time blind, so,
hey,
you know.
This stuff happens.
It happens. It's fine.
but I think you did pretty well.
Yeah.
You got Allagash White eventually.
You were
all over the High Life.
Yeah, that one.
Hams and High Life is basically the same.
They're similar. Yeah. High Life's a little sweeter.
I think drinking it out of a snifter probably throws it off a little bit.
It does throw it off. And that one, it tasted, like a, you know, the Tipo tasted like a little bit of a tired continental pills.
Totally.
That's why I thought at first it was just like, the aroma kind of led me to thinking it was a, not even a pills, but then you drink it and you're like, okay, there's an assertive back end bitterness to it. And Allagash White, I should have just gotten, but oh well.
You gotta drink more Allagash White, I think, is the takeaway from all the blind tasting.
I guess so.
It's delicious.
And you are theme. The theme is right. I mean, it is beers that
brewers gush about, whether or not it's warranted.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about that, like what beers are there that are like that. But that might be for another show, because I think we are about at time.
All right.
Don't know what the show is going to be next week. We'll have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But it's been fun. We've been all over the place. We've been up. We've been down. We've been reading emails. We've been e-letters, rather. Blind tasting. Talking about Swansea.
I put some stuff in the Google Doc, not to do housekeeping on air. How do you feel about doing the Michael Jackson Beer Hunter?
Let's do it.
Everyone, you can find it on YouTube, too, if you want to watch it before we talk about it. But we'll put the link. You want to put the link to that YouTube playlist I sent in this show notes and then the next one?
I will do that.
Cool.
I will do that.
So we're talking about Michael Jackson's Beer Hunter. Great.
Michael Jackson's Beer Hunter, and maybe we'll get a guest to talk about that as well. But until then, thanks guys for listening, and keep the letters coming. We really appreciate it, and so does Don from Three Tier. And we will see you next week. So long. Remember, this is what we wanted. Remember, this is what we said. To never be heard or seen from again, 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 again. Remember, this is what we wanted. Remember, this is what we said. To never be heard or seen from again, 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 again. Remember, this is what we wanted. Remember, this is what we said. To never be heard or seen from again, again.